thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
It's me.
Here's John Williams.
It's John. 108. Ella Garris is our producer. Thank you, Kim. Steve Bertrand joins us in just a couple of minutes. They play musical chairs.
Lord have mercy.
In the newsroom about this time, don't you know? We're here until 3 o'clock. We're in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. By the way, I did not realize that now all of our bordering states, is that how you put it, Kim, are fireworks sellers?
Exactly.
Not that Chicago or Illinois, for that matter, needs any more firepower of any kind. But maybe I'm making a mistake if I link fireworks with guns and how we keep shooting each other in Chicago. That is, I hate to see us leave any money on the table.
Exactly. And, but it's still, honestly, you know, if you're wounded by gunfire, you're wounded by a firework, it's almost, I mean, you can shatter bones, shatter organs. You can hurt yourself, I would think, almost just as badly.
Well, I get that. But Illinois, but Iowa, Indiana, Wisconsin, they've all sort of been down this road. And I don't.
Indiana. Did you say Indiana?
Did
yeah.
I?
Yeah.
All of our neighboring states, I haven't heard a lot of stories about people blowing their heads and arms off. Although last year there was a story about a finger that was found mysteriously on a park bench in North Dakota and they didn't know how it got there. And it's believed that it was blown off by a firework and then picked up by a bird and dropped on the table.
Oof.
Because people were just walking along and they go, hey, look at that. Oh, no, it's a finger. And it was probably blown off by fireworks and nobody wanted to say. Actually, I'm not exactly sure what happened after that, but they concluded it was blown off by firecracker.
I've been doing enough demonstrations by the by firefighters showing what fireworks can do before 4th of July since I've been in this business that it makes me want to stay away from them.
But what is it? But at the end of the day, all I know is the neighbors, I had buddies in LaGrange Park, and here's what they would do. They would get in the powerful Mach 5, and they would drive to Indiana or Wisconsin, and they'd go get a box of them, and then they'd bring them back. You drive around town. You drive through the suburbs on the 4th of July and tell me you don't hear fireworks going off left and right.
Oh, for sure. I mean, but, you know, just to even ban sparklers, everybody loves a good sparkler.
So you would allow sparklers?
I let my kids have them when they were little. You just have to be really careful and
I'm sorry,
watch
but did
them.
Your story say, can you buy sparklers in Illinois?
This former person who was involved in fireworks said he would like to even see sparklers banned in Illinois. But right now you can buy sparklers.
No. I don't know, I'm back and forth across the state line in Indiana and Michigan over the weekend. Spent a lot of time in New Buffalo. Finally swam in Lake Michigan over there. That was swell. But
was it cold?
That's a good question.
Because I've noticed the water temperature's gone down since last week.
It's really weird. So before I went in the water, went to one of the fancy shops there in New Buffalo and bought myself a long sleeve wetsuit.
Oh, there you go. Doesn't matter how cold it is.
And turns out I was the only person at the beach with a long sleeve wetsuit top. All the other kids are jumping around in the water. They seem to be fine.
I bet you were feeling really smart, though.
I was feeling really conspicuous. And then as I was changing into my long sleeve wetsuit, which isn't a pretty thing to observe, by the way, as I was doing that, it dawned on me that nobody's looking at me. John, you're not the center of the universe. Everybody's looking at everybody else. Nobody's looking at you. I think that's a good lesson for all of us to learn when we feel a little sheepish about saying, doing, being something. Look, nobody's really paying attention to you. You're not a rock star. You're just a middle-aged guy changing into a wetsuit. Nobody wants to see that. Don't worry. So I put it on, and I got in the water. And instantly, I thought, wow, this is some amazing rocket science. I was warm on top.
You could be Aquaman.
I was cold below because I did not buy the water shorts, but I was happy on top. And actually, the water wasn't that cold. Getting back to the fireworks, though, as you do drive from Michigan to Indiana to Illinois, it's funny to see businesses that pop up on the borders, like fireworks or casinos or things that, you know, one state does allow and the other one doesn't. And you think, boy, there's money to be made there. We're leaving money on the table here. In Minnesota, until the 1st of July, they have made it illegal to purchase alcohol on Sundays. You still can't buy booze in Minnesota on Sundays. So guess who has pretty good business on Sundays? The people on the Minnesota-Wisconsin border. Because you can always drive over there, get a 12-pack of beer, and then drive back. they're about to fix that nonsense. I'm not sure that we need to make, if you told me that we could make a lot of money selling fireworks in Illinois, I think I would be okay with that. At the end of the day, I think the responsibility is on the parents and the people with the firecrackers. But I don't know that we would make enough money. Steve Bertrand's just strolled into the news booth. I don't know how much money we would make if we allowed fireworks to be legal in Illinois. If, for instance, it would balance the budget or take us out of debt in the state.
Well, we'd have to blow up certain places for that to happen.
I'd be for bazookas, but I'm not. So I hope you had a real good weekend. We did. That was part of my weekend. Went over to New Buffalo, and we did that thing, and that was a lot of fun. Did a little bit of a cookout. Did the marinated flank steak. That was dynamite as well. Thank you, Brenda. Thank you, my boys. Thank you, Mr. Pierce, who is my son's fiancé's father, for hosting us as well. And thanks to my dad, who said, "Don't worry, Johnny, I'll see you Wednesday night," because I couldn't be two places at one time.
Do you call him Mr. Pierce?
I do, in fact. I do. I'm not exactly sure why, but I think it's a measure of respect.
Mm-hmm. It's a getting to know you thing.
It is. Right? Well, that's the other thing, too. I really don't know him that well. I've been in his company three times in my life. I like the guy, but I do call him Mr. Pierce. I also think I do that because I'm afraid I'm going to get the first name wrong.
I understand that.
That from a guy who on Friday on this very radio show was giving the phone number out diligently to buy tickets to our Thomas Jefferson show or Teddy Roosevelt show. Turns out I was giving out the wrong phone number.
Yeah, did you sell out your friend's garage?
I was giving the phone number to the Bennetts, friends of mine, and how that number got in front of me, I don't even want to know. But for two solid hours, I told people to call my friends the Bennetts and get tickets to see Teddy Roosevelt. Don't do that. You can just get all the details you want at WGNradio.com/events. The president's tweet late last week about the fact that he is under investigation. Do you remember when you and I talked about that, Mr. Bertrand?
Sure.
And I said, well, that's what the president says, but that doesn't mean he's under investigation. And you said, shy of Robert Mueller himself saying it, you would think the object of the investigation, saying I'm the object of the investigation, is pretty compelling. And then I said something like, yeah, but maybe that's just Trump blowing smoke. You know how he is. Turns out I may be right, right? Because over the weekend, his attorney was on a bunch of the talk shows, and he said that the president is not under investigation.
Well, didn't he also said he was?
Well, he said that they were not told that they're right. Under investigation. So while it's possible they are, they don't know of it. But the point is, walking back the president's tweet that he is under investigation. That may not be the case. The president has no knowledge of that. Let's put it that way. That's an accurate statement. The president has no knowledge of that.
So sometimes you're informed if you're a target of an investigation or subject of it.
I suppose you might be, yeah.
But he apparently has not been. That's what they're saying.
I also was intrigued because, so I'm looking at the president's Twitter account. And you know that the 45th president follows 45 people. He follows Reince Priebus. He follows Vice President Mike Pence. He does not follow, however, Sean Spicer. Sorry about that, Sean. Just another sort of disrespect lobbed your way. That seems to be your lot in this administration. He follows a half a dozen or more Trump properties. Remember, the president follows 45 people. 32 million people or groups follow him. He follows 45 people or groups. And all of them are very logical. It's Sean Hannity. It's Mike Pence. He follows Kellyanne Conway. He follows Fox and Friends. He follows the Drudge Report. He follows things that are informative or comfortable to him. He follows his kids. He follows Trump Nation. He follows Gary Player, the golfer. But that's about the only one that is a little surprising, with the exception, I'm still amazed, he follows Diamond and Silk. All of these things are very political and very predictable and very media-centric. And then there's Diamond and Silk. Of the whole world on Twitter, 45 groups or people that the president follows, and the only one that really catches your eye is Diamond and Silk. It is too... looking like about 40-year-old African-American women who sit in front of their laptop and then they record videos. and they're and they are super pro Trump. And the one girl, the one woman is very, she does most of the talking. She'll say like, President Donald Trump, he's got it going on. And the other one is just kind of shaking her head, bobbing back and forth. And she goes, uh-huh. And that's right. She does the sort of, you know, back and call. She sort of does the follow-up, just sort of the little sort of echo of what the first woman says. They're very humorous. They're very spirited. They're really good at what they do in a sort of good enough to be followed, but also kind of amateurish way. I've talked to him a couple times before, and I enjoyed our conversations, even though we're in different places politically. But I think it's just kind of cool that the president of the United States has chosen to follow them.
I'm talking directly to you. You are part of the hate. Yes,
that's
you
right.
are.
Yeah,
the
yeah,
ones
yeah.
that keep pushing this Russia story
uh-huh.
to try to undermine the administration.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yep. You sit right here in the bowl today.
That's
I'm
right.
talking to you.
That's kind of how they do it. So I'll just set you up for a little bit of Diamond and Silk today. Diamond and Silk, two ladies sitting there. They have what they do. They do a bit called the Bowl of Hate. No, the Bowl of Stupid. And they put people in the Bowl of Stupid. So if it's somebody they want to call out and say you're doing a bad job, they go in the Bowl of Stupid. And this week, this is the one that the president liked or retweeted. He actually retweeted this. Was them calling out not the political left or the political right, but the people that are hateful.
Silk, girl, who goes into this week's Bowl of Stupid, girl?
Well, Diamond. This week's Bowl of Stupid goes to hate.
You know, some want to blame it on the left.
Uh-huh.
Some want to blame it on the right.
Yeah.
But you know what?
Yeah.
It's not about the left or the right.
That's right.
It's about the one.
The one. And then the one who, and then they have a litany of people who have done hateful things, and they call them out.
Intimidate and manipulate in order to dominate.
Uh-huh.
I'm talking to you.
To you.
What about the one that made that foul and disgusting video
yes.
holding up a bloody severed head?
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking to you.
To you.
So this is not about the left or the right.
No.
It's about you, the one that did that video.
And then they go on to list a bunch of things. So I think they're kind of on to something there.
I'm talking directly to you. You are part of the hate. Yes,
that's
you
right.
are.
Yeah,
the
yeah,
ones
yeah.
that keep pushing this Russia story
uh-huh.
to try to undermine the administration.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yep. You sit right here in the bowl today.
That's
I'm
right.
talking to you.
And the president follows them, and the president retweets them. And it's the one chuckle that you get out of the administration, so I thought I would at least share a little of Diamond and Silk today. You remember the story of Diamond Reynolds, the woman who was in the car with her boyfriend, Philando Castile, last summer in, again, Minnesota, another reference to Minnesota where I spent a lot of time. And he was shot by a police officer, and she live streamed it on Facebook. That officer's trial has been ongoing. Now, you may have heard the outcome of that. He was found not guilty of manslaughter. He's been relieved of his duties. He'll no longer be a police officer. But it appears as though he shot at almost point blank a man who was sitting in the passenger seat of a car in Minnesota, was reaching for license and registration when the gun goes off. The officer fired four times. We're going to talk a little bit more about that story after 1:30 with a reporter and talk show host up there. Hey, Jan, it's John Williams, and you're on WGN. What can I do for you?
Well, you were talking earlier about the story that you and Steve were debating. And I called in earlier, and there's a title of a book. It's very small. It's 67 pages. And I promised your producer I would not say the full name. Written by a Yale professor named Mr. Frankfurt, and it's on, and then it's the bowl, and then there's the rest of that, but I promised I wouldn't say the word. And so the president talking about whether he was under investigation or not, and saying that he was, and now it doesn't look like he might be, is just a complete definition of what this professor writes about. He says it's when people don't know if it's true, but they don't care if it's true, and they just say it anyway, that's the perfect definition of that word, be, bull, and then the rest of it. And it's just endless with this man, but he doesn't know, he doesn't care, and he just says it anyway.
Yeah, I haven't seen the book, Trump on BS. Thank you for the phone call, Jan. It's 123. This is WGN. Did you watch, Steve, the Megyn Kelly, Alex Jones interview last night?
I did not. What was I watching? Maybe the U.S. Open?
Oh, yeah, the U.S. Open was kind of fun to watch.
It wasn't that fun, really, but
disappointing. Yeah, I know. Well, it was really good, I guess, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. There was 14 guys vying for the lead, and then turns out just one guy was vying
for
the
lead. Yeah, and no one was making a play. But anyway, Megyn Kelly, no, I didn't see it.
Well, we were clicking around last night, and Brenda goes, oh, there's the Megyn Kelly thing. Do you want to watch that? And I'm like, no, I don't want to watch that. Oh, hell, put it on. But it was a half hour in. I guess we missed the first half hour where she did it, because then there was a Harry Smith piece and there were other things. I never saw it in real time. Went back and watched and listened to a little bit of it. But I was reminded of Kristen McQuarrie, the editorial writer and columnist for the Chicago Tribune, who said, I'm not sure I like the idea of Megyn Kelly elevating Alex Jones. Does he deserve this much attention? Are we giving him more than he deserves?
Right.
And you and I, and I think Eric Zorn said, oh, yeah, he's legit. And now I'm wishing that I had been more on her side.
Really? Because I was saying he's certainly got millions of followers. He's making an impact. There have been crimes committed based on his knowledge or his reporting. You know, the pizza thing in Washington, D.C.
Ping pong pizza?
Ping pong pizza. So why not if he's...
He's the guy that said that Hillary Clinton's running a child sex ring out of a Washington pizza joint.
And the guy showed up with a semi-automatic rifle.
Can you imagine? I don't know what's the crazier part of that story. But it's discouraging to see somebody putting that sort of conspiracy theory out there.
So if he's having an impact, why not expose him?
Yeah.
Was he exposed?
Well, yeah, but I mean, was he chastened? Was he changed? I'm not sure that, needle has moved in any way.
Well, so did he pick up support or did he lose support?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. But, his response is a lot of, I'm just playing the devil's advocate here. I'm just throwing this out there. I'm not the one that said it. Those kids were shot at Sandy Hook. Well, did I pull the trigger? All I'm saying is this.
I'll take no responsibility for this lie.
It's as if his words are in a vacuum. Here's part of it. Here's 60 seconds of what it was like last night.
Alex Jones was nearly 5,000 miles away from Manchester, England, when a suicide bomber killed 22 people at a concert less than 4 weeks ago. Despite the distance and with few facts known, Jones did what he often does, jumped mouth first into controversy.
A big bomb goes off at a pop star's rock concert, bombing a bunch of liberal trendies.
You said it was a bunch of liberal trendies who were killed, the same people who are promoting open borders, bringing Islamists in.
Yes.
In response to which, many people looked at the victims, many of whom were 15, 14, it was a little.
I know. I'm sorry. I didn't blow him up. I know, but I did something bad, though.
No, an 8 year old, right? There was Safi Rose Rousseau, 8 years old, that she was a liberal trendy, right? Because that's what you said about the victims is what has people upset.
No, that's the media misrepresenting and clipping that the way you did. I got home at like 6 o'clock, heard about it. The ages of the victims weren't even known, but they were saying it was jihadi. And I said, how crazy is it that liberal trendies are now the victims? And then I start going and looking. Of course, if there's kids being killed by Muslims, I'm not saying that it's their fault.
So he's always got an answer. He's always got kind of an exit for what he said previously. And after having seen as much of it as I did, I thought, I'm not sure that we're a better place for giving him the platform. Tough call. Tough call for NBC and Megyn Kelly. It's 1:31. Steve's got the news next on WGN. This is John Williams. Last July, you may remember this story. There was a man named Philando Castile in Minnesota in a neighborhood called Falcon Heights. It's a suburb of the Twin Cities. He was driving with his girlfriend, a woman named Diamond Reynolds, and her child in the back seat. They had a busted taillight. They were pulled over. When the officer came to the window, he said, let me see your license and registration. And Philando Castile, who was legally carrying a gun in his pocket, said, as he was going for his license and registration, I have a gun in my pocket. I have a gun in my pocket. And something happened at that moment. Did he go for the gun, or did the officer overreact as he went for his license and registration? The officer opened fire and shot him to death there behind the wheel of the car. His girlfriend immediately began live streaming on Facebook the event. She was calling out to her friends as her boyfriend was bleeding out there in the car, saying, "Help, help." It was dramatic for so many reasons, and notable because this is somebody using Facebook Live to stream video as a petition for help from the police. It was the strangest, saddest story.
Stay with me. We got pulled over for a busted tail light in the back. And the police, he's covered. They killed my boyfriend. He's licensed. He's licensed to carry. He was trying to get out his ID and his wallet out his pocket, and he let the officer know that he had a firearm and he was reaching for his wallet, and the officer just shot him in his arm. We're waiting for back. I will, sir. No worries. He just shot his arm off. We got pulled over on Larpiner.
I told him not to reach for it. I told him to get his hand off it.
You told him to get his ID, sir, and his driver's license. Oh, my God. Please don't tell me he's dead.
The audio of that is always remarkable when I hear it, and I've heard it many times because of how calm and matter-of-fact she is. The blood stain on her boyfriend's T-shirt is growing as she speaks. And the officer is standing there, still with both hands on the gun, pointing into the car, saying, you know, don't move, don't move. And you can hear the anguish in the officer's voice more than you can in hers. A lot of experts have said sometimes in a crisis like that, you sort of kick into a super calm mode rather than go in full-scale panic. The officer was emotional. She was not. All right, cut number two, and I've got three. She's still on Facebook Live now as the backup to the police officer arrives.
Please don't tell me my boyfriend just went like that.
Keep your hands where they are, please.
Yes, I will, sir. I'll keep my hands where they are. Please don't tell me this, Lord. Please, Jesus, don't tell me that he's gone. You shot four bullets into him, sir. He was just getting his license and registration, sir.
Get the female passenger out.
Ma'am, exit the car right now with your hands up. Your hands. Exit now. Keep them up.
So she gets out of the car. The panting you hear, the heavy breathing is the officer. The officer is still just heaving as he's holding the gun on the two of them as the backup arrives. And finally, cut number three, she's still on Facebook Live now, and she's in the back of the squad car, her hand, I believe, in handcuffs, but she's still able to hold her phone.
We in the back seat of the police car. Phil's sister called me. The police just shot my boyfriend for no apparent reason. My phone is about to die. They shot him. He shot him three times because we had a busted taillight.
The thing you don't have, though, is the shooting. You have all of that, but you don't see. Did Philando Castile go for his gun? Or did he go for his license and registration? At a very short range, the officers fired four times at him and killed him on the spot. A colleague of mine is Jordana Green. She does a talk show at WCCO Radio in Minneapolis and was on the air with me for years up there. And that story went down on Friday. Hi, Jordana. How are you?
John, we still miss you here, but I am well. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm sorry for everybody. I've been sorry for this story from the get-go. What a tragic shooting. I feel, of course, bad for this young man, for his girlfriend, for the community that is struggling with police and minority relations, as we certainly are in Chicago. And I feel bad for the officer, too, Jordana.
It was a hard day yet on Friday when the verdict came out because nobody won. I realize it was a victory for the defense, but nobody won. In fact, Officer Yanez's police force in Falcon Heights then relieved him of his duties, says he is not coming back to be a police officer in St. Anthony. We will help him find a new job, but he is no longer on staff here.
He was charged with second-degree felony manslaughter. And if he were reckless and did what a reasonable person would not do, they could have found him guilty, but evidently they did not. What was missing? How did this case go down the way it did?
Well, John, it's exactly what you said. We saw the aftermath on Facebook Live, and there is dash cam video of the shooting that is to be released to the public this week. It hasn't come out yet, but that will only show us Officer Yanez shooting into the car. It will not We will not ever be able to see what happened in the moments where Philando Castile was reaching for whatever it was he was reaching for. And that seems to be the crux of this. And I guess the jury decided that they believe that Officer Yanez thought he was reaching for his own gun and therefore felt his life was in danger. When Diamond Reynolds maintains he was reaching for his ID, apparently Officer Yanez says, nope, I thought he was reaching for his gun, and therefore my life was in danger. But, John, we're never going to know that because Diamond Reynolds has one story that night, as you heard on the Facebook Live. She says, you told him to reach for his ID. Then her story sort of morphed and changed. Officer Yanez, you can hear him on the Facebook Live saying, I don't know where the gun is. I don't know where the gun is. And then when he was on the stand, he said, I saw the gun. But, in fact, when Philando Castile's body was pulled out of the car, his gun was safely ensconced in his pocket.
Still in his pocket.
Never relieved out of his pocket.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you're Philando Castile, why would he? But if he's sitting there and the officer is standing right there, windows down, he's got the gun pointed at him. Why would, you know, why would Castile go for his gun? I mean, you know, I don't like your chances in that situation. It's a busted taillight. And he wasn't a gangbanger, right? It's not like this is somebody
maybe
that
not.
They were going to throw. Although this is interesting, and I remember this part of the story, Jordana. How many times in the last 13 years had this young black man who worked at a school, right? He was
was a cafeteria worker at a St. Paul public school.
How many times had he been pulled over? I double-checked. 49 times. Mm-hmm. 49 times this guy had been pulled over for various traffic offenses like a busted taillight. And when that came up on our show in Minnesota last summer, my recollection is a lot of African Americans said, yeah, that's the way it goes. That's what happens if you're a black person. You get pulled over a lot. If, you know, as a person, a white person, I'm like, holy cow, 49 times. Every time I get pulled over, and it's been a few times in my life, you're nervous, you panic. And they just go, you know, we get pulled over all the time. 49 times. He's a good guy. 49 times he'd been pulled over.
John, there was also this, there was much discussion in the courtroom about the pot. When Officer Yanez says when Philando rolled down the window, he could smell marijuana. So he not only was saying he had a gun, you know, Officer Yanez says he could smell marijuana. So he assumed that this person was high. There was also a baggie of marijuana on the seat. Again, we don't know if Officer Yanez saw that right now, but it was on the seat as evidence. So Officer Yanez's case was I smelled a lot of pot and he said he had a gun and he was reaching for something. And that's what the jury had to work with.
Well, you think
now, the makeup of the jury, John, there were two African-Americans on the jury, one black, one white, and the other five. There were seven men and five women. Two of the jurors were black. Like I said, one man and one woman.
What was the reaction afterwards?
The jurors didn't speak. They were
in town. What was the reaction on your show or in town generally?
It was split down party lines, as you can imagine. Many of the folks that were in the Officer Yanez camp just kept saying, had Philando done what he was supposed to, hands on the wheel at 10-2, if he didn't smoke pot, if he wasn't high, if that kind of thing. If he didn't have a broken taillight, none of this would have happened. And then, of course, the president of the NAACP came on with me at Friday at 3 o'clock and was nearly apoplectic, just kept repeating, they're killing us, they're killing us. Philando's family held a press conference right outside the courtroom, his sister openly weeping, saying she will never have faith in the system. One of the attorneys saying they have done everything, the prosecution had done everything they could. Nothing would have changed the outcome of this. People feel very like he was treated unfairly here in Minnesota, but then, you know, it depends on where you fall.
Here's some of our texts. John, the cop did not know he was going for his wallet. He said he had a gun in his pocket, and he went into his pocket. What is he to think? But I always felt that Philando was, based on Diamond's description, based on a logical description, if the officer says, put your hand in your pocket and get your driver's license out, and I've got a gun there, I want you, officer, to let's just get this out in the open right now. I have a gun, so if you see a gun, don't panic. I'm reaching for my wallet, and my gun is nearby. So let's all just get that out in the open. To me, that's a logical thing to say in a situation like that. John, the police, by and large, do a good job, but they drive around with an attitude. John, she and her boyfriend were both high at the time of the incident. If you remember, that's why she's so calm. I'm not sure why she was so calm. I think she was in a state of shock, but it was weird to hear that voice describing play by play the shooting aftermath.
All right. You know, there was a protest Friday night. The protesters blocked Highway 94, which is a major interstate here by us in Minnesota, and 18 people were arrested. It was peaceful. There was a large prayer vigil last night, and there was some more rallying today at the state capitol. All has been very peaceful.
There was a rally here in Chicago Sunday about this very incident, too. All right, Jordana, stay well. Let's you and I talk on the radio again and talk about something nicer than this.
Thank you, my friend. Have a great day.
If you listen to WCCO in Minneapolis, you will hear Jordana Green in the afternoon. Among the texts, John, tragedy all around. The officer was Hispanic, not white. And if you make claim of his 45 stops, also tell us what they were for. It was 49 stops in 13 or 15 years. Maybe it was 45. It was over 40. I wrote it down here somewhere. But they were for a lot of, I don't have the list of them. But as I recall, it was for the sorts of things you get pulled over for, rolling through a stop sign or, not coming to a full right on red or a traffic light out, things like that. And you could say that the guy deserved every single one of them. I'm just reminding you that when that fact comes up, what I heard from whites and blacks was quite different. You know, I think a lot of us in the I was surprised to hear that somebody was pulled over 45 times. And all of my friends who are black and my callers who are African-American were saying, oh, yeah, that's not unusual. That is not unusual for blacks to be pulled over a lot more than whites. Now, are you telling me that whites are better about keeping their taillights on? Maybe. But I think there's something else going on here besides automobile maintenance. That's all. Fox News or Fox has a not Fox News, but Fox, the TV network, has a show that debuts next week. It's called Superhuman, and people will come on, and it's not a competition show, but it sort of has the feel. It's people that come on and they do things, and I don't know if they get judged or if they just demonstrate their superhuman abilities. Nobody wins and then advances to the next round, but it's pretty crazy to see people doing these superhuman things. And one of the people that will be on the premiere episode next week is from Chicago. And this guy, Mike Beister, is going to come into our studio in the next hour. His superhuman feat is he's like a math whiz. And so you can say to him, 42 times 38 minus 17 plus 14 divided by 12 plus 13 equals what? And he will give you the answer just like that. Or you can take a deck of cards, 52, pull one out, and then go brrr, and just zip them in front of him one time, and he will tell you the one missing. He sees them, registers them, realizes one's missing, and he will tell you. Or you could say any date between 1900 and 2100, in those two centuries, pick any date, and he will tell you what day of the week it was. So you can say January 3rd, 1913, and he'll go, that was a Wednesday. Kind of fun. But I want to come up with sort of a math problem for him, Steve. And the way this works is, like, I'll say 233. And now you say what? Plus something. What are you going to say?
I was going to say 58.
Plus 58.
Okay.
All right. And then, Elif, what are you going to throw at him?
803.
Plus 803. Then I'll say minus 6. Oh, that'll throw him off. And then, Steve, do a multiply.
Times 52.
Times 52. And then, Elif, go.
Times 33.
Times 33. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And then I'll say minus 114. Now, we'll go ahead and use our calculator and come up with the answer to
that
this.
That tickles
to make
you
sure
a little bit? You...
It really does. Because as fast as we can say it, he's going to have the answer. I want to see him do that. So we'll visit with this guy, talk about the TV show, and figure out how he does some of the amazing things he does. That doesn't tickle you? That'll be in the next hour.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to. Here's John Williams.
Well, I've bitten off more than I should try to be chewing here. Hello, it's 208. This is John. Our guest is MathWiz. Be in our studio in a half an hour, and we thought we'd sort of see how dang good this guy is. We came up with a tricky math problem for him. He's got to do it live, fast. But in order to check his work, we've got to make sure we know the answer ourselves.
What tripped you up, the addition or subtraction?
Well, it was that and then the multiplication, and Elif and I are coming up with different answers. And we're using calculators. I think it's 1,866,894. Why don't you double check that there, Ellen?
That's what I had.
No, literally, there's this show called Superhuman. It's going to be on Fox next week. And here, so the guy, this is a clip from the show where they get the world's fastest talking human. That's a guy. And they have him pretend like he's a car salesman, and he is selling a car with the following features.
It's a literal steal at just $320 a month for 60 months. Of course, that's just the base model. This little beauty is a little extra. Add on $220 for the windows, $550 for the power brakes, $80 for the power locks, $195 for the power seat, $625 for the Mad Dog security system, $30 a month for 5 years for satellite radio. Actually, I'll throw the radio's first month in free, and the power steering, I'll throw that in for free too, except a fee of $210. But hold on, you are a safe driver, so we'll knock $10 off of all 60 monthly payments. And on top of that, your trade-in equals $820 off the total too. But before we go any further, you'll also need a warranty, just $45 a month over the course of the 60-month lease. Then there's all that legal mumbo jumbo, so you've got to add taxes, title, and rebate, which puts us very tiny $2,830 on the bill. And heck, I like you, so I'm willing to take a flat 10% off the top of this bad boy. What do you say? Can I get you in this car today?
Before the discount is $26,960. With the discount, we're looking at $24,264.
Yeah, he got it right. So we gotta throw something like that at him. So we've come up with some numbers, but we're not sure what they all add up to. So that's on us. Hope they add up the numbers right in Georgia. Tomorrow is that special runoff election. How about that? It's 2:10 on WGN Radio. This is John Williams, John Ossoff, and Republican Karen Handel are kind of locked in a political runoff. The congressman who was in that seat was picked to join the Trump administration.
Price.
So Price goes off to be Trump's guy. So then this seat's available. Neither of them got more than 50% of the vote. So then they have a runoff between the Democrat and the Republican. And that is tomorrow. The president tweeted about it today, recommending that people vote, of course, for the Republican. Tamar Hollerman is on a phone line, a political reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Tamar, it's John Williams. How are you? You are on WGN Radio in Chicago.
Thanks for having me. Hope it's a little cooler over there than it is here in Atlanta.
What do you guys got right now?
Oh, about 87 degrees and muggy.
Yeah, well, it's always muggy down there, isn't it?
That is true.
Nothing in the weather is going to keep people from voting tomorrow, though, I suppose. What kind of turnout are you all expecting?
As high as it can get for a special election. Typically, these kinds of things are pretty low turnout affairs, but given all of the attention that this race has gotten, we're expecting very, very high numbers, and that's what we've been seeing so far in the early voting.
Tell me about the two candidates. Start with the Republican, Karen Handel. What do we know about her?
So Karen Handel's a very well-known political figure here in Georgia. She was the Secretary of State, so she ran elections here back in 2010. She also ran for governor and very narrowly lost in 2010, and she also ran for senator back in 2014. So a very well-known commodity here, a pretty establishment-oriented Republican, very well-known. With the Democrat, we have a 30-year-old political newcomer, a documentary filmmaker and a former congressional aide with no political experience before this, and he's really lit up the race.
He got a lot of outside money, didn't he?
Yes, he did. They both did. This race has attracted money like we've never seen before. It is now the most expensive House battle in the history of time, more than $50 million by our count. So it really is just a flood of money from outside of Georgia.
$50 million spent on a special election for which the winner is only going to serve how long? I mean, the rest of the term, but it's not even 2 years.
Exactly. And you're going to be a backbencher in the House. You know, you're going to be expected to vote with your party leaders. It's, you know, you're one seat out of 435 members of the House of one half of Congress. It's pretty amazing.
Well, Tamar, why then? Why is so much money pouring into this race?
Because it says a lot about what could be around the corner in the midterm elections next year. For starters, it gives us a sense of what voters think of President Donald Trump. But what it also does is it shows us, you know, what Republicans and Democrats can do in 2018. You have Republicans trying to figure out how closely they should run to Donald Trump next year. Do they want to embrace him fully like the Republican candidate here in Georgia has? Or does it make more sense to keep the president at arm's distance? And for the Democrats who want so desperately to recapture control of the House next year, they're trying to figure out if they can compete in these suburban, traditionally Republican districts like Georgia 6. If they can win tomorrow, they'll definitely get a big bump, at least in their own minds, about what could come.
You're the Capitol reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, so you follow the House and the Senate in Washington, D.C., right?
Yes, sir.
And is she running as a sort of surrogate for Trump? Is she trying to see what his coattails are, or is she herself trying to keep some distance from the president?
She's doing the latter. On the one hand, you see her, you know, campaigning with the president when he was in town, embracing the Republican health care bill, but she's also, you know, taken a lot of pains to put some distance between herself. She's not like David Perdue, our Republican senator, who sees himself as you know, a 100% ally. She's trying to keep some distance.
Well, what is Georgia like? I mean, you're certainly a red state. Georgia voted for the president. How do Georgians feel about, or in this district, I guess that's more germane, isn't it? How do people in this district feel?
Exactly. This district is very different from the rest of Georgia. Looking across the state, Trump did quite well here. He won the state by about 6 percentage votes or points, and he really did well in the rural blue-collar parts of the state in the north and the south. This district is much different. It is very wealthy. It is very well-educated. And because of that, even though it is traditionally Republican here, voters only went for Trump by about 2 percentage points last year. That's compared to Mitt Romney in 2012, where they went for him by 23 points. So that's why Democrats see a lot of room here. They think because Trump did so poorly last year that they can really capitalize off those voters, Republican voters, who might not feel the best about him.
I read somewhere that the group that they're looking to turn out are wealthy white women. Is that true? And if so, how are they a player in this game?
Absolutely. Wealthy white women nationally in the election last year did go for Trump by a few percentage points. But right now you see Karen Handel, the Republican candidate, really play up the fact that you know, not only would she be the first Republican woman representing Georgia in Congress, but also the fact that she worked for Susan G. Komen Foundation, the breast cancer research group, and she talks about how much, you know, healthcare is important to her. On the other hand, you have John Ossoff, the Democrat, saying, you know, at Komen, Karen Handel was the one who wanted to pull funding from Planned Parenthood. You know, he's constantly on the campaign trail with his fiance and talking constantly about the impact that women on his campaign have had in his success. So they really are focusing a lot on that demographic.
Did those women didn't turn out for Hillary in this campaign then last time, huh?
Yeah, definitely not here. But they're seen as a crucial voting block tomorrow.
Well, I wonder if there's any buyer's remorse among some of those women if they go, we weren't there for Hillary that time, we should be there for her now.
Something that I see as I go around the district and talk to voters, particularly on the Democrat side, is quite a few women who thought, you know, even if they voted for Hillary Clinton last year, they said that they kind of sat back and were a little complacent. You know, they didn't really, you know, they weren't volunteering, they weren't canvassing, they weren't donating, and they said they felt very guilty about that. And a lot of them are volunteering on the Ossoff campaign as a way to kind of, you know, pay back, you know, in terms of karma. So I'm seeing that quite a bit.
Talk a little bit about how the two are campaigning. What kind of ads are you seeing? How mobilized are they? Stuff like that.
Sure. Well, the Republican candidate, Karen Handel, talks a lot about her experience in the state, her experience in a local county commission, what she's been able to do. And she's also hit back a lot against her Democratic opponent. Not only does she say that the 30-year-old Ossoff is inexperienced, but she constantly highlights the roughly $30 million in outside money that Ossoff has been able to attract. Ossoff, on the other hand, has really distanced himself from attacking not only President Trump, but Karen Handel directly. He thinks that the best strategy for him to win independent voters and some Republicans is instead to run a more positive campaign, to talk about things like government waste, high-tech jobs. He's really trying to appeal to the middle here, and he thinks that's what's going to get him over the edge.
Wow.
Handel thinks it's all about her experience.
Boy, that almost never works, though, or at least that's almost never the way they do it. It's rare, by my observation, Tamar, to see somebody take the high road. This isn't one of those mud fests where they're both slinging horrible things at each other on TV?
There's plenty of mud, but a lot of the outside groups are doing it for the candidates. So not only do you have the spending from the two campaigns on ads and that sort of thing, but you have outside super PACs and the two parties that are throwing plenty of mud here. And during the two debates that we had in this race, they got very heated between the two candidates. But at least in this last few weeks, especially the Democrat has tried to kind of take himself out of the equation. Whether he'll be able to get away with that is unclear.
One last thing about that, though. I mean, for Ossoff, it must be very tempting to use this as a sort of, if you don't like Trump, then vote for me sort of thing. And while that may be happening on some level, you're telling me he's not overly making that point, huh?
Exactly. You know, when he entered this race back in January, he did it on a pledge of quote, making Trump furious. But ever since then, he's really walked it back. First of all, I think a lot of Democrats saw that last year, when a lot of Democrats ran as anti-Trump candidates, it didn't work out so well for them. And especially in the 6th District, which is pretty heavily Republican as it is. If you're a Democrat, you need to fight for other votes outside of the few that exist in your party. So I think John Ossoff is making the gamble that even though there are people in the base who are very much anti-Trump and are voting for him for that exact reason, his way to win over independents and disgruntled Republicans is not to talk about the president at all.
The president tweeted 6 hours ago, the Dems want to stop tax cuts, good health care, and border security. Their Obamacare is dead with 100% increases in P's. I presume he means premiums. Vote now for Karen H. So the president has weighed in, but has he made much more of an appearance? Has he been, has he been visible in this campaign?
Oh, yes. He was tweeting on election night during our first round of voting back in April. And since then, he's really gotten involved in this race. He came down to Atlanta in April and he fundraised for Karen Handel. He sent some of his top deputies to do the same. Just last week, Vice President Pence was here to also campaign for her. He sent Tom Price, the health secretary and the man who held this seat for 12 years, to come down this weekend. And he's also cut a bunch of robocalls to benefit Handel. So he really is getting involved. And from what I can tell, him and his advisors in the White House are very much keeping close tabs on this race.
Okay, Tamar Hollerman, a political reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Really fascinating and really well told. I appreciate your time. Maybe we can touch bases later in the week after the votes have been counted. But what time do the polls open tomorrow?
I can't remember off the top of my head, but I think it's pretty early. I think probably around 7.
Yeah, okay. Well, good luck to you all down there. Thanks for your time this afternoon.
Thank you.
Steve, I sent you an email with the math problem on it.
Yeah, I haven't received it yet.
Well, it just went out about 9 seconds ago.
They're very concerned about security. Sometimes it takes 20 minutes to get up 7
floors. Do you have that problem,
yes,
by the way?
Yes.
I don't know what it is. This is a really big radio station, and we have a staff of really smart people. But for some reason, when I send an email or when email is coming into me, I don't know where it goes.
If you're not sending it on the in-house from an in-house address,
yeah,
it's laundered somewhere in Bolivia.
I'm telling you, it's amazing how long it takes to get an email.
I'm not kidding you. It can be 20 minutes.
We're so spoiled. I'm just glad to hear that you have that problem, because I just figured that's my lot in life. Stuff always works like that for me. It works slow for you.
I just got an email. Well, this was from last week.
I'm telling you. It wasn't that funny. Okay, so in our studio right now. Well, Steve, let me know when you get it, okay?
Sure.
Because that's the thing we got to do. Mike Beister is here, math whiz. He will be appearing on Superhuman, which is on Fox next week, Monday night or Tuesday night?
Monday night.
Monday night. Mike, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you so much, John. I'm great.
So what is this Superhuman show?
Superhuman.
Get a little closer to the microphone.
Superhuman, they scoured the country, I guess, and they had the 40 people with the most amazing minds, I guess that's what they told me, and or talents, and we all compete against each other, and it was really cool to meet a lot of these people because a lot of people think brains and genius is you're born with or you're not. Every single person I met trained their mind.
Really? So the stuff that you did on this show, your super math skills, other people can learn?
I spent my life teaching kids how to do the things I do. I mean, when I do it, it's fun. When 10-year-old kids, it's amazing. And people, when they watch videos, if you go to MikeBeister.com and click on Media Kit, you watch kids doing what I do. And that's, I want every kid in the world to be able to do this.
What do you do for a living?
I own a software company that I traded at the Mercantile Exchange for like 20 years.
And of course you did.
Yes. And then after I appeared on 2020 did a story on me and my impact on kids, and the guy that invented OxiClean called me up and we developed a product to use at home. And now I really want to reach schools.
A product to use at home, a cleaning product?
No,
or a math product?
a little bit of cleaning. No, a math product, a product to teach people. It's not math, really, what I do. I'm almost just as good with letters and words as I am with numbers. It's processing information.
What do you mean you're almost as good with letters?
Well, if you give me your last name, Williams, if you would spell W-I-L-L-I-A-M-S, I would spell A-I-I-L-L-M-S-W. I put the letters in alphabetical order.
Oh, okay, how about this one? Because Violetta Podramatica is traffic for us. Hey, Violetta, are you over there yet? Hold on a second. Are you there, Violetta? In traffic?
I'm here.
Okay, how do you spell your last name, Violetta?
Oh, no, this is scary now.
Go ahead, Violetta.
P-O-D.
Right. R-U. R-U?
Yeah. Yes, M.
M.
E-D-I-C.
E-D-I-C.
Okay, that'd be, wow, it's not a good, C-D-D-E-I-M-O-P-R-U? I mean, I might be wrong because it's not really.
Those are all the letters, and that's in alphabetical order.
Okay, cool. Yeah,
so you take words and you can instantly put them in alphabetical order.
Yeah, but that's not the important thing. I teach kids how to memorize anything for any test they take for the rest of their lives, and I just want it to be so every kid could learn this.
Is it a visualization technique?
It's not a visualization. It's training the mind to keep information when it's needed.
Okay, so just as a for instance, like my name Williams.
Yeah.
Maybe most people could figure that out slower than you. All of the letters in alphabetical order. But maybe it's a weirder word like podramatic.
Yeah, that was scary.
Okay. But so what are you doing? Tell me how to do that.
Well, all it is taking the information and scrambling around in your head. It's sort of like, when you get information, everyone just sees it regularly. I try to take the information, look at it backwards, forward, sideways, and I do visualize it a little, but everyone visualizes to a degree. And the people that don't visualize well and are auditory learners, I really have them focus and do it on their fingers a little. And so at the end of the day, that's not the important thing. It's the power of the brain.
I think you don't know how to tell me how to do it.
No, I do it all the time.
The letters. How can I learn to put the letters in alphabetical order?
Is you spell out in your head a couple times.
Okay, like, so I see Williams.
Okay,
W-I-L-L-I-A-M-S.
And you know the A comes first, and then you do the.
But now I got to go. Does I come before L or L come before I?
Well, I comes before L.
How did you know that?
Well, because it becomes natural after a while.
So I got to practice this more.
Oh, absolutely. Everything becomes practice, but what it is, in a way, it's keeping the brain sharp. And, you know, it's funny because even though I talk to kids all the time, and that's what I'm about, almost 40% of my emails from adults and seniors, and everyone wants to keep their brain sharp.
Well, sure, I do too, but now I've got to go. So I would go A.
Got it.
And then I would have to go I or L, which comes first. And then I would go A, B, C, D, E, F,
no,
G, H,
I. No, really, you get better at it.
But that's eventually I would be able to know, boom, A,
I, I, L.
I, L.
Right. And that's what I'm saying is taking
so
information.
So Z, Q, R, R, S, or T. Right. I don't know. Pick some that are in the same neighborhood.
Right, absolutely. Like the G, H, I, J.
That's kind of a tricky area.
Right. And the R, S, T is always tricky. But at the end of the day, you get quicker. I mean,
okay, but you also do this. I saw you do the thing where if somebody gives you a date, you'll tell them what day of the week it is.
Right. My son does that too. I've taught thousands. That's a simple one. But go ahead.
Okay. October 19th, 1959.
October 19th, 1959 was a Monday.
I was born on a Monday.
Oh, really? Cool. And
how did you know
I'm
that? How did you just do that?
You know what? Every month, it's simple. I mean, it really is. There, you know what?
If you say it's simple one more time, I swear to God, I'm going to conk you on the head.
No,
I think
trust me.
Right.
you know what? I'll make you a deal. If you want, I'll send you how to do it. You can put it on for your listeners. It's a couple steps. And at the beginning, you might say, wow, that's tricky. But once you learn how to do all the other things, everything's a process. And the reason why I teach the day of the week thing and why it's sort of important, it's like five mini steps, and people have trouble doing step one, step two, step three in
order. But just so for instance then, these are steps you can do in your head?
Yes.
Okay, so just give me one, or give me the first two steps.
Okay.
I said October 19th, 1959.
Okay, every 28 years, it's a new pattern.
Okay, I'm already lost.
No.
Okay, I won't do that.
Okay,
every 28 years, it's a new pattern.
Okay, 1956. So you are a three.
No, wait, that was October 19th, 1959.
Yeah, 1956 ends it. So every 28 years, there comes a new pattern. So 1956.
Oh, 28, 56.
84.
0, so, 28, 56. Got
right.
it. Okay.
Okay, so you are a three.
I'm three over 56, 59. Okay.
Okay, now three, and then all you have to do is divide three by four, but you don't have to do it because it's zero. So 3 divided by 4 is less than 1, so you don't have to add anything to it.
Okay, so 3. So we're not going to add anything.
Okay, so 3. And then you add the month code. The month code of October is 1. It's really easy to remember.
I'll learn that.
Okay, it's not hard. Every code has month. That's 3 plus 1 is 4.
Right.
And the day of the week?
19th.
Plus 19 is 23.
Yeah.
Okay. And now here's the last step.
Yeah.
So you add 3 plus 1 is 4 plus 19 is 23.
23.
And divide by 7. 23 divided by 7 is 3.
Yeah.
Remainder 2.
Right.
All you have to care about is remainder. 2 is the remainder. 1 is Sunday. 2 is Monday. And you were born on Monday. The math was not hard.
My heart is racing.
No, it's not. No, because it really isn't. I have 6 years
old. Violetta, you can learn this.
Yes, you could. I promise you. Don't sweat. This is fun.
No, I agree with you that it's fun. And frankly, I'm pleased because, okay, now that sounds manageable. If
right.
I learn those steps,
every
I could do
every single
that.
Thing. Do you want to do some things that are manageable? Well, we can do it right here and you'll be a rock star.
That, or do you have something else in mind?
I have a ton of different things in mind.
Okay.
Okay, why don't you just do something fun that people could do in their head for the heck
of
it?
Sure.
Okay, and this is their mash. I teach kids how to multiply or divide any number in their head, but at the beginning I teach them shortcuts that will take you 1 minute to
learn.
Before
you teach me something new, though, every now and then there's savants, sometimes autistic savants, who have skills like this. And I've always thought that that was something that was almost inexplicable, that they had some sort of wheels in their head that were turning and it automatically came to the right number and they didn't even know how it was. I don't suspect those people are doing what you're doing.
No, there's a method. Everything I do is a method.
You have a method. You have a learnable way to do it where maybe some people are off the scale. They're off the charts. They're
absolutely
different than what you're doing. So,
right.
Okay, so give me something that I could learn.
Okay, so let's just multiply two numbers between 100 and 109 together.
Okay, let's
just for fun.
Okay.
Okay, so say we have 106 times 107.
Okay.
Okay, you start out with 1.
Yeah.
Now add the 1 digits together, 6 plus 7. One's the first digit of the answer, 1. Then add the 1 digit together, 6 plus 7 is 13.
13, yeah.
Now multiply the 1 digit together, 6 times 7. 42.
Yeah, so 13 and 42.
It's 1-1-3-4-2.
1-1-3-4. Really? No
kidding.
That's
the answer.
1-1-3-4-2 is the right answer?
Absolutely.
Okay, so we have some numbers we need you to...
Okay, yeah, this was scary because you guys threw adding, multiplying, dividing all together.
We've been collaborating
sweating.
On a series of numbers and operations.
And
we're
all
going
these
to give
people
you.
Outside are watching me, and Maury Povich is watching me. This is...
don't worry, this will be fun. This
okay,
is fun.
Yeah, this is fun, guys. Okay,
this is easy, right, and if you want a tip, I will help you.
Right, oh gosh.
And here's the tip.
Right, okay.
You open up your laptop, and you hit the buttons on the calculator.
Right, yeah, I got my phone here. I could know. But like I said, I've never done anything like this in my life where you combine addition. I do addition and division
just
together.
Did it on TV.
It was addition and subtraction and a monthly payment thing, which I added at the end.
Okay, well, then maybe you can't do this.
No, I don't know. That's why I'm saying this will be interesting.
We'll take a break and we'll come back and
I'll
give it to you.
Okay,
but when we do, though, also, so then if people are intrigued, if they want to find some of these tricks and develop their mind, make it smarter, you have a website that people go to?
I mean, you could go to either MikeBeister.com or BrainAddicts.com. You could get there either way from each other. And BrainAddicts is BrainAettics. But my goal is to really have every school in America do this because it teaches kids how to memorize and focus.
Okay, I'll give you those websites in a minute. And you'll be able to see him next Monday night on Fox on the TV show Superhuman when he does some really superhuman stuff. This is John Williams. Next week, Monday night, on a TV show called Superhuman, Chicago's Mike Beister is going to be on. He wants you to develop your brain and be, smarter or more?
Right. And, you know, it's funny because if you watch videos, we're not taking kids from A to B. We're taking them to A to Z. And I want every parent that watched this to believe that your kid could do this.
But if I learn these tricks, will that necessarily make me smarter or even better at math? Or will I just be able to win bar bets?
No. You know what? It's not about the math stuff. I teach people how to memorize, how to focus, how to concentrate. All this is the fun stuff that enables you to do amazing things, but it's way more important to just be able to memorize, to be able to focus and concentrate in a classroom. And that, you know, if you watch the videos of Superhuman, I'm going like this. All I'm trying to do is block out things.
Yeah, you're going like this. Right. By that, your eyes are closed. Right. You're sometimes holding the bridge of your nose. Right. On TV or on one of these videos, you actually got down on a knee like you were clenched, like you were so focusing.
Well, they brought in the fastest talker in the world to read me numbers, and it was like, oh my gosh,
here's a little bit of that. Okay. Hold on a second. This
$320 a month for 60 months. Of course, that's just the base model. This little beauty is a little extra. Add on $220 for the windows, $550 for the power brakes, $80 for the power locks, $195 for the power seat, $625 for the Mad Dog security system, $30 a month for 5 years for satellite radio. Actually, I'll throw the radios first month in free. And
so then you had to start subtracting things and dividing things at the end.
You know what? The funny thing about it was, I do this when I buy cars, they said we're going to bring on the fastest talker in the world. I sort of got scared. But what they did is they sent me a couple tapes of him talking. And even though he talks a million miles a minute, I learned how to get the rhythm. And he talks unbelievably clear for someone that talks so unbelievably fast.
Okay, so I don't want to put you in a position where we give you a function that you can't do on the spot. So while we worked out a math equation for you, I've altered it slightly, which is probably just as well because we've been broadcasting for the last hour and a half the numbers we were going to ask you.
Okay.
So now I've changed it slightly so that nobody will know except me what I'm about to roll at you. So Steve and Elif, I'm just going to do this myself if you don't mind.
Oh,
by the way, so what pace should I go at? Like
you can go,
1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4?
Whatever you want, whatever you're comfortable with.
Well, 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4?
Well, it depends how many digits are. Like if they're all two-digit numbers, you go as fast as you want. If they're three-digit numbers, a little slower.
All right, here we go. You ready?
Yeah.
233 plus 58 plus 803 minus 6 divided by 23.
That equals 47.3043478
8 is right.
Okay. lucky guess.
Violetta, you too can learn how to do that. Violetta, 1 plus 2 plus 3. Go.
6.
Yes.
Wait a second.
Yes.
She got it.
Oh,
my gosh. Woo.
I know I'm exhausted just hearing
you.
You
and me
do that.
Both.
Okay, we're going to see you on TV next week. Let's connect again. If people want to keep their brain as in tuned and as sharp as they can, the website to go to is Mike Beister.
MikeBeister.com or BrainAddicts.
BYSTER. So Mike, BYSTER.com.
Or BrainAddicts. First 5 letters of brain, last 5 letters of athletics. It's really athletics for your brain. BrainAddicts.com.
Absolutely. All right, Mike. We'll visit again.
Okay,
it's nice
thank
to meet you.
You.
Congratulations.
Oh,
keep doing
you.
What you're doing, man.
Right. Okay. And like I said, every parent, please believe your kid could do this. I'm going to make sure it gets in every school in the country.
Ro Khan, Anna DeVlantis in the studio. Hi, guys.
Hi. That's a smoking hot Ro Khan.
Yeah.
It's
no
a smoke
big deal.
That you smelled when you entered the studio.
Yeah.
Okay. What's 233 plus 58 plus 100 and 803 minus 6 divided by 23? And so that guy just goes boom, and he knows. He does it. That's kind of cool.
That is really
cool.
Cool.
I don't know what you do with that.
A little slower, please. Well, I mean, these are the best cashiers in the Middle Ages, you know, the people who could do that.
Yeah, really.
I'm still trying to figure out how to make change for a dollar.
What's going on with you guys?
Well, we got an interesting show. You know, every day when we come in here, there's always something new that I've learned, seen something I've never seen before, especially in the last couple of months.
Yeah.
And I saw something I've never seen before today. There was a press conference held at the White House where there was no speaking. It was miming. It was basically it was like Marcel Marceau.
Do you know what he's talking about?
I do, kind of. It was a very unusual.
Sean Spicer held a no audio, no video briefing.
What are you talking about?
Exactly. It's terrible for radio. I mean, terrible. Although he did.
Explaining it's fun.
At one point, he was pulling a rope and going into the wind, which I thought was kind of interesting.
Right.
Then he was in a glass box. And then.
Spicer did not want to answer any questions today.
And Republican senators are negotiating the health care plan in secret, which we kind of knew. And Democrats are about to hold a floor demonstration in the Senate.
Okay.
Wow. It's really.
Could be
it's
a really
weird.
Interesting day.
And Bob Baer, formerly of the CIA, as we all know. And one of the most regarded CIA officers in American history. Bob is, we're going to have him on. This thing, what has happened here in both Syria with the U.S. Navy jet taking down a Syrian jet has now created provocation with Russia. And Russia says they're going to shoot down our jets if they see us in their airspace. And Bob's words to me just a few minutes ago were, prepare for war.
Oh, gosh.
Us in Russia? Us in someone. Syria?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, why don't you not do that on the show? And then do we avoid the war if we don't talk
about
it?
If you don't talk about it, does it happen?
Can we get that guy back who can add and subtract?
You do math. People love math. You get a math whiz.
Yeah.
That just people, they eat that up, Ro Khan.
Yes, they
He's
do.
A smart man.
Thank you very much,
Jen.